Take from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comedians from New Jersey say critical things about comedians who are far more successful than we'll ever be.
Critical, that's the best way to say it.
Critical.
Yeah, that's critical.
Constructive criticism.
Yeah, not slandatory or anything like that. It's
right.
Critical.
Right. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm the other co-host, Darren Patterson.
And
is slandatory a word? As soon as I said it, I was like, oh, no.
I don't think it is, but I wasn't certain enough to say.
Well, it is now.
I think slanderous would be the word.
That's the word I was going to think about.
Slanderous.
Slandatory sounds better, though. I
like slandatory because it's a nonsensical word, but you still instantly know what it means.
It's like conversate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It's a word. Yeah.
It's fun.
We just made it a word. Put it in there, Urban Dictionary. You're
welcome.
That's
right. Yeah, slandatory. Get on it.
Get on it.
Get on it, internets. And we're going to talk about the fourth episode of the 44th season from November 3rd with Jonah Hill and Maggie Rogers.
Maggie Rogers.
So,
interesting episode. Not too bad. It was. Did you notice that, am I nuts or did Jonah Hill seem to break a lot throughout this episode? He did it quite a bit.
I didn't notice him breaking an extraordinary amount. I mean, I guess as we'll get into it,
I'm putting the horse before the carriage here.
The cart before the horse.
Is that how it goes? I don't know any sayings.
Slandatory
carts and horses.
Darren just learned English last week.
Yeah.
So when you consider that, I think he's doing extraordinarily well.
Hulk not good with words.
Yes.
That's an SNL deep cut. If you know that. This is the podcast for you.
That was a Superman's funeral, right?
Yes. Oh, shit. You got it. Holy hell.
This ain't my first rodeo.
Oh, my God. Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah. And then he pulled out, he pulls out his little eulogy, and he reads this very articulate thing. Who was playing the Hulk? Was it?
That was Farley.
It was Chris Farley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of those sketches, like, where me and my buddy, my best friend, John Accardo, after we saw it, like, for some reason, like, that phrase stuck with us a lot.
Hulk, so, not good with words.
Hulk, not good. Yeah, so every time, like, I fumble with my words, I say, Hulk, not good with words.
Yeah.
And, like, I always feel like he's the only other guy that'll get it.
That was a funny sketch.
Now,
sometime we should do, when we have a theme show rolling around, we should do one of just, like, all the comic book or superhero sketches that they've done.
That is nerdy to the nth degree.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in for it, though.
Yeah, because, like, Darren and I, as you've probably figured from listening to this podcast, we are both massive, massive nerds. And
absolutely.
We are also comic book
yes.
superhero nerds.
Absolutely.
We go to, like, every Marvel movie.
Yeah, DC movies.
Okay.
Not every, but enough.
We were discussing that. We had a group text going. We were do we want to see Aquaman? Do we want to see Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, and we were let's give it a shot.
And
yeah.
I think Aquaman looks good, personally.
Yeah, I mean, well, we saw Justice League, and that was an experience.
It was a thing that occupied 2 hours of our time.
Yes. And then Suicide Squad came out, and they were like, you know, let's not. Wait, I mean, we didn't see it in the theater, at least.
I saw Suicide Squad in the theater.
Oh, you did?
Who the heck did I see Suicide Squad with? This is going to bug me now.
How was it?
It's kind of a mess.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I saw it at home, and I was like, oh, boy.
It has its moments. You know, I thought Margot Robbie was really good.
She is good, yeah. But the fact that you're not saying much about it speaks volumes.
And Jared Leto was in the movie.
He was there. And yeah.
Yeah. should we talk about the topic of the podcast?
Let's go to this SNL episode with Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill hosting Maggie Rogers, musical guest.
Yes. Jonah Hill, fifth time doing it.
Yeah.
But we'll get back.
We'll get into that.
Completely.
First, we should talk about the cold open.
We had
Ms. Kate McKinnon as Fox News' Laura Ingraham, and they're talking about the caravan.
Yes,
that's in the news of late.
And I thought she, Kate McKinnon knocked it out the park as always.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to give props to your favorite Mrs. Cecily Strong, who was Janine Pyro, who. Like she came to play too. She did a really good job, I thought.
Yeah, I thought
I mean, she always
really
does a good job, but
I watched very, very little Fox News, so I wasn't really sure who she was imitating.
I don't watch any,
but she seemed to be imitating a specific person, so I'm gonna assume it was a good impression, but I honestly don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, like the way she, her mannerism, the way she talked, like I can see that type of person. Like again, I don't watch Fox News.
It was so specific.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
I got an impression of the person she was doing without mm-hmm. having to see Fox News, which is what I like.
It was also just like covering kind of the Fox News hysteria about
that whole thing. Yeah,
that whole
Yeah, just, you know, this evil brown people coming up to, like, and then they kept on showing clips of scenes from like World War Z. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, this is it. This is them. Yeah. They're coming up the walls.
Showing Black Friday, people going nuts in the store.
Exactly.
And that's supposedly the caravan.
Just fear mongering and all types of grossness, but putting a funny spin on it. So it's good.
Yeah, I thought like as a sketch, it was okay. I didn't think it was great. You know, maybe they could have gone a little harder. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
it felt
true.
Like something was kind of missing.
A little bit, yeah. But I mean, I also did like the way that ended, where they made a joke about, you know, Alec Baldwin's current arrest, and
that was disgraced
SNL.
They refer to him as a former actor.
Yeah, and then they showed a scene. They showed a picture of him in the Canteen Boys sketch from the 90s.
Oh yeah, that was great.
That was like
that was cool, and that was. That was cool. They were making fun of one of their own.
I had a feeling they would do it, but I didn't know if they would do it.
It kind of was something that they had to comment on in some fashion,
yeah.
I think.
I had a feeling they would. Yeah,
then on the Weekend Update.
Absolutely. For those who don't know, on Friday, Alec Baldwin, he got arrested for assaulting somebody. When they got over...
They were arguing over a parking space.
Arguing over a park...
In the city.
Yes.
And Alec Baldwin punched the guy.
Yeah. Which, I mean, to me, like, I don't... Well, just park in a garage, man. You got the dough. Just pony up the dough, park in the garage. Street parking is for us poor people. Like, you don't try to gentrify our parking spot. Just put in the garage. You can easily avoid all this, but... I don't know, he's a bit of a hothead, and...
He does seem to have a temper.
He does. He's like, known for it. He's like the American Russell Crowe.
I remember, like, back in the day, he would get in the paparazzi's face back when he was married to Kim Basinger.
Oh,
and he'd always, like, gonna...
So he's always... he's always seemed to be, like...
Yeah.
Like a hair-trigger type of dude, I guess.
And... Yeah. I mean, with the paparazzi, I can get it.
Yeah, that's true.
They're awful.
It seemed like they've always been awful. They're always going to be awful.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, especially now. It seems like they're making so much money off of awfulness.
It works for them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money in awfulness.
I guess so. I mean, that's why we choose not to be famous, because we don't want...
We want to be decent people.
That's right. We don't want to feed into that.
We value our integrity too much to ever become famous.
Darn tootin'. Although, if somebody wants to offer us a lot of money... For that
we will compromise our principles in a split second.
We will shill ourselves.
I
to
will
the highest
stab
bidder.
Darren in the back so fast.
Wow.
Oh, she. I meant to mute your headphones during that. So sorry.
Yeah, no problem. It's okay.
But the offer's out there, people.
Yeah,
we are willing to betray each other.
That's right. I don't know where to go from that. Wow. That's a harsh reality.
Going back to the cold open, it seemed like there was something like of a technical flub towards the end of it, where like Kate McKinnon, she was reading the things and they have it running across the screen at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And towards the end, what she read, it didn't match what was running across the bottom.
I noticed that too.
And I was like, did she get the wrong cue card or something? I don't know what happened it seemed like a weird...
I don't know if you noticed it too, but like when the sketch opened, it just opened with the graphics.
Yeah.
But there was no music.
True.
With
the
graphics.
I was like, is there no sound? And then Kate McKinnon started speaking, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, they're good.
For a minute, I was like, is my remote something? What happened going on here? But I don't know. I guess it was a little...
It was weird. It was weird.
Live TV, everybody.
Live TV.
Live TV.
And then we had the opening. I noticed something unusual during the opening credits.
Well,
it looked like they had replaced... Well, no, it didn't look like they did. They replaced a shot in Cicely Strong's segment.
They did?
Yeah, they did. I noticed...
You would be the one to notice that.
Yeah, no, I noticed that the where it was just like a single shot of her. I think she was on an escalator or something. And they had a shot of her with a dog.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because like there was a shot... In the last opening, there was a shot of her like with a dog, kissing a dog. And I'm like, I wonder if that's like her dog in real life or something?
Does she have that in her contract? I want my dog.
I don't know.
In the opening credits. It's
yeah,
right here.
It's so weird that, you know, to see them kind of fine tune the opening credits after they debut it.
Yeah, like, I mean, once you put it out, the credits are the credits.
You don't really see them change out shots. But,
interesting.
I don't think I really noticed any other differences, but.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what the story is there. I have no inside information there other than apparently Cecily Strong is a real dog person.
I guess so. I mean, I guess she wants everybody to know she loves dogs.
She loves the dogs.
Hmm, interesting.
So.
Controversy.
Okay, and then we had.
Opening monologue.
Opening monologue.
Five timers.
With Mr. Jonah Hill.
And celebs.
Who,
cameos.
Yeah, I'm personally still not quite used to skinny Jonah Hill.
I've
weirds
grown
me out a little bit.
I've grown accustomed to it. I'm there. I mean, he's not totally skinny. He's like.
No.
But he's not totally like. He's not as big as he was.
Yeah. But he's one of those
he's
people.
Thick.
Like, and you know. Great on him for losing the weight, and
yeah.
I'm sure it's healthier, and he's probably happier with that. But it's right. It's like it just weirds me out a little as to see that because okay. I guess I had him imprinted in my mind as a heavier guy.
If he doesn't match the imprint in your head, it's like this does not compute.
It's the same thing with like Al Roker. You know, I've never felt
that,
entirely comfortable skinny Al Roker.
That I'll give you. Like some people just look better or chubbier. Like a. Yeah, like
yeah.
Roker,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's like they
Sharpton.
Genuinely look better, or if it's just because that's my mental image of him, and it weirds me out because it doesn't match that.
I'm still slowly getting used to Al Sharpton skinny. Like
that's another one. Yeah,
it's like,
Al Sharpton looked kind of deflated.
Yeah, but he's healthier, so that's good. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I guess. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Good for him.
Yeah.
All right.
So
five timers.
We come back to the five timers club,
yeah,
which is like a recurring bit
right.
for when we have the perennial SNL hosts. And I honestly wonder, like, does Conan O'Brien get something? Because like I think he wrote the first five timers club sketch.
So he came up with that idea?
I believe so.
Huh.
I believe I read that in the
in the
Live from New York book.
That's pretty cool.
Conan was the writer of that. And I know like when you come up with some sort of recurring thing like that, you usually get some
kickback
from the Writers Guild. Oh. Like, you know, hey, you came up with this thing that we keep using. So I wonder if like NBC pays Conan O'Brien a little something for, uh-huh.
Wait, who came up with
that?
Could, on that last episode we talked about like with the llama and Lincoln and the two showgirls in the background.
From what I understand, I think it was Bob Odenkirk who brought that back in a big way. It was Seth Meyers.
Oh.
It was Seth Meyers.
So maybe Seth Meyers gets some money from that.
Maybe.
Too.
Look,
we're uncovering dirt, people.
I'm fascinated by this stuff. I mean, I know not everybody is, but yeah, we had the Five Timers Club, and we had
Tina Fey.
Candace
Bergen. Drew Barrymore.
And Drew Barrymore. And the twist this time was it was a post-Me Too era Five Timers Club.
Right. Exactly. And, so it was like a lot of... You know, Tom Hanks is in here because he's grabby, and
yeah,
Steve Martin. He would just ask if he could just play banjo and just do it without our consent.
Yeah,
type of
yeah.
thing. I would like it. It had its moments.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice when they come back to that. That they find a new twist to do it. They're not
yes.
just. I mean, basically, like when they do it, it's just you come in and you get a lot of cool celebrity cameos.
That's true,
and you have a little fun there.
Yeah.
And it was fun to see. Some of the more, maybe the less heralded five timers like Drew Barrymore and
yeah.
Candace Bergen.
Like I knew Candace Bergen was the first, I guess the first woman in the Five Timers Club.
Has to be.
Yeah, but I totally forgot that like Drew Barrymore's in it and Tina Fey. I think I kind of knew she was in it, but I didn't remember. But like I remember the guys like Hanks and Steve Martin and Paul Simon and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean it's probably tougher to remember. The woman, because outside of Tina Fey, I don't think they've hosted quite as recently. I couldn't tell you the last time Drew Barrymore hosted.
Yeah, it's a while ago.
But I know she hosted like for the first time as a kid, like somewhere in the ET era.
Yes.
In the
early 80s.
Did. And I think she was like one of the hosts right around 9/11, like or maybe when they found anthrax in the building.
Oh, that's
or something like that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll look that up.
Yeah. So,
look that up. All right. So, yeah, not a bad opening sketch and ended with Jonah Hill in a woman's jacket.
Yeah. I liked his line, like, I can't wait to get my jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, what? You're going to jacket?
Whoa. jacket.
That was cute. I was a little surprised. You know, they could have easily had Scarlett Johansson there. She's a five-timer, and I'm assuming she's around the show a fair amount these days, because she's, as far as I know, still seeing Colin Jost.
Justice Lady. Yeah, but I mean, she's probably busy, you know, doing Avengers or what have you.
Being a movie star.
Yeah, she's busy earning millions of
dollars. Raising her children.
Yes.
Her child. I don't know how many children Scarlett Johansson has.
They have children?
She has at least one child.
Out there somewhere.
Well, I know that she knows about.
Yeah.
I know she got pregnant during when they were shooting Age of Ultron, because I remember reading that they had to like digitally take out her baby bump.
Oh, wow.
In some scenes.
Wow, worse. All right.
Yeah, so pregnant Black Widow. There's a metal image for
if
you.
That's your thing.
Yeah. that's
wrong.
Know that's somebody's fetish somewhere.
that's Google search.
That's the rule 34 in action. If it exists, there is porn of it.
Yeah, that's somebody's search history that got erased before they lend out their laptop.
This took a weird turn.
It did. It always does.
It always does. So maybe we should just move on.
Please.
The first sketch with Jonah Hill, it was...
Adam Grossman.
Adam Grossman, his recurring character.
Yes.
I could tell they were going to do this one, because whenever I went on YouTube in the week leading up, like SNL had an Adam Grossman sketch with Jonah Hill, like prominently.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't do it that often. And like, so when he hosts, he kind of has to do it.
Yeah. It's fun when the host has a recurring bit. I always enjoy that.
It's like Christopher Walken in the Continental.
Exactly. Now, if you haven't seen the Adam Grossman sketch, he's basically a six-year-old who acts like a old Jewish Catskills comedian.
Yeah, like a Borscht Belt type of like, hey, how are you?
Yeah, with that sort of gravelly voice.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you? I'm sex! And he always holds his fingers up. Apparently that was something I watched a segment the other day from Seth Meyers' show. And he conceived that with Bill Hader and Seth Meyers, and the three of them wrote that up together the first time they did it. And it's become like a recurring thing for Mr. Jonah Hill. And
But this is the first one I know is where he broke. Like he I thought the thing where he kind of broke in his other sketches too, but like he definitely broke in this one. Because he was with Leslie Jones, who was his nanny. He kept calling her, "Always my Jamaican nanny. You can have all the red stripe you want."
Right.
And then he just started breaking out and singing Bob Marley songs in her face.
Yeah, well, it seemed like... I didn't really notice Jonah Hill breaking. I noticed Leslie Jones breaking.
Okay.
And, she seemed to be breaking quite a bit. And it seemed to be a new kind of breaking. She's breaking new ground and breaking.
she's breaking.
Yes. Breaking too, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh.
It seemed like she wasn't reacting so much to what Jonah Hill was saying, but like maybe she was reading the jokes off the cue cards and then laughing in anticipation. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, I feel like Bill Hader did that when he was Stefan, because he didn't know what John Mulaney would write up, and then as he was reading it, he was cracking up.
Right, like because from what I understand, John Mulaney would change the jokes at the last minute, so Bill Hader was often seeing them for the very first time on air. You would get a genuine reaction from him.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, maybe they were doing something like that with Leslie. Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows?
I don't know.
But yeah, I thought the sketch was all right.
It's a cute. It's a good go to.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It didn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah, it was pretty short too, which
They always have him at Benihana, and he's interacting with the other customers.
Yes, with the gay couple that just got engaged. Mm-hmm. And he's like, whoa, what's this over here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
The next sketch, which I actually liked a lot, the Get Out and Vote, the Blue Wave commercial.
The campaign commercial,
commercial.
With this where it was basically nervous Democrats. Well, the Democrats, they were trying to express confidence about how the election... the upcoming midterm election is going to go, and they're like, we're going to take back the House, but you know, they're very gun shy and they're very nervous, and so they're doing things like shaking their cup of coffee and
like, this is it, we're going to do it,
we're going to
do it.
and
I mean, this one hit home for me, because my politics is I lean left, liberal guys, and I'm definitely going to vote in this upcoming election, but at the same time, us liberals we can't get too cocky this time around, because we got cocky in November of 2016, and that didn't turn out well for us.
You don't want to count your chickens before they hatch.
Exactly. So now we're hopeful, now that this new election's coming up, and we're all... you know, we're hoping for the best. we got our fingers crossed. Like, we're just like, but you know, we're a little we're a little gun shy at this point.
And
you know?
And I thought I really like this sketch because it really did capture that mood. It really, you know, this is a sketch. Whichever way the election goes on Tuesday,
right?
This really captures a moment in time, and whichever way that election goes, we're going to be able to look back on this sketch like a few years from now and be like, oh yeah, that's what the mood of the country, or at least the Democratic Party, was like.
Yes, cautiously optimistic.
Where it's just like, we want to think it's going to go our way, but we don't know. And if it doesn't go our way, and holy shit, what the hell is going to happen?
I mean, we want to hope everybody is on board, but like after 2016, I think we come to realize like we don't know what anybody else is thinking. Like, you know, everybody, it's
we have a new insane thing happening every damn week.
It really
feels like, and
it's just like
it's exhausting and it's nerve wracking and it's insane.
And the sketch the sketch captured that beautifully.
Yeah. I thought for me that was a sketch of the night. I thought that was great. I thought it was very funny. I thought it was insightful. It really captured something. It had something to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought this. For me, it was this sketch, and there was another sketch that I thought were tied for the. We'll get
into okay. That. Okay. Well, we'll find out. Anything else to say about this one?
No. Well, I mean, one of my favorite part was when they had Pete Davidson and A.D. Bryant.
Uh huh.
And like Pete was saying, I'm looking. You know, I'm a millennial. I'm looking forward to voting this Thursday. And then A.D. Bryant plays his mom.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're voting Tuesday. And then Pete's like, no, I know, I'm just kidding.
And she slaps him.
She's like, is that funny? And she just smacks him in the face.
Yeah, that was a great moment. And I thought Heidi Gardner did some nice work as his mom. She was like yelling at her kids, get inside until Wednesday.
Until Wednesday? Stay in the house. It's a tense time.
It was.
But yeah, I thought this, I really dug it.
Yeah, I thought that was a great sketch. That was it for the night for me.
Right.
Next, we had a sketch with an Albany news team where Jonah Hill plays a guy who's proposing to his girlfriend, Cecily Strong, who's the station's meteorologist, and he's proposing to her on air.
Right.
And
I just wrote weird.
My notes say weird sketch. It
really was a, like...
It was...
If I was to describe the sketch, I don't even know if I could do it.
It was weird because it kind of took a while to get going to its central premise, because like we started out, there was some banter with I think it was Kenan Thompson and Leslie Jones as the news anchor team,
right?
And then we introduced the meteorologist character, Cecily Strong, and she's talking about she hit a guy with her Volvo on the way in,
right?
And you think, oh, the sketch is about that, and then they introduce
Jonah
Hill as the boyfriend,
right?
And he's proposing in a really weird, awkward way. And he's got a green shirt on, so they're doing the green screen gag where he's just a floating head.
Right.
And she obviously is going to say no, so that's really, really awkward.
But then he brings out her birth mom, who's been in prison.
Yeah.
A.D. Bryant, and then she kind of leaves.
Yeah.
And then she says no, but then later on she says yes because she wanted to propose to him. And then dancers and balloons come out.
And then there's a tag at the end that they're after some woman who committed a hit and run in a Volvo.
Yeah, it just seemed like a lot.
It was a weird sort of stream of consciousness sort of sketch.
It seemed like a sketch that belonged like after 12:30 actually.
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't know. Nothing really took hold. It wasn't especially funny. It was just kind of there.
It was all over the place, and you're just adding more and more things, and all the things kind of just. Didn't go. I don't know. It was at the end. I just was like, "What?
Yeah.
Like, what was the point of this? It was just kind of bizarreness."
This for my money. This was the start of this weird sort of dead zone in the middle of the show. I thought.
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah. This was weird. I didn't hate it, but it was just like, huh?
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
It was just like
I think they just should have stuck with one thing, like the awkward proposal, and maybe stuck with that and developed that a bit more, but.
As I said before, earlier, I just wrote weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that captures it beautifully.
Yep. The next thing was
the
Divided We Stand. It was an off-Broadway show.
Yeah, see, I thought I liked this sketch a lot. I thought it was kind of cool.
This one didn't quite work for me. I didn't really take many notes on this, though, and I'm just working on my vague memory of it.
It was basically like an off-Broadway sketch, and it's supposed to be like a sketch where it takes on all the problems that's happening in our divided world today, but they had this like kind of oversimplification of it.
Oh, yeah. Where they're cutting to the horrible reviews.
Yeah. And, that's it. One of my favorite horrible reviews was Alex Moffat, where he said, mm-hmm. I guess the worst part of this play was their confidence in it. I laughed out loud at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like some of the lines of the horrible reviews. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great.
I dug it. Yeah. Like, I thought there was one at the end, there was a part where there was all singing, like, oh, they say we need to vote, but maybe if we just sing, everything will be okay. And then it cuts to the reviewers, and they were like, I think that play was telling us not to vote.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I dug it. I thought I kind of got a kick out of that one.
Fair enough.
I like it.
Fair enough.
I like it.
All right. Next, we had a thing where
high school's teacher sketch.
The teacher on the ground.
I wrote down a bunch of question marks. My notes. What?
That's good. This was another sketch where I was just like,
this may have been odder than the Albany New sketch.
And it was just, the whole thing was Kate McKinnon's teacher just fell down. We don't see her fall down.
Yeah,
she's just fallen down, but she's just staying on the ground, and all her students are weirded out by it.
Yeah, like, I mean, as soon as it started, it took me a while to understand what was happening. Because she didn't fall down, like you said. Like, she was already on the ground. So I'm like, posing for her students? What is this?
You don't even hear, like, a crash during the establishing shot, I don't think.
Yeah, you just see her lying on the ground, and you're like, what's happening here? She, like, this yoga, she's stretching. And then her students say, oh, yeah, she fell. And then she kind of goes into this weird, like, kind of monologue. I don't know. Again, if I had to describe the sketch, I don't know if I could do it. Because it's kind of all on Kate McKinnon's, like, behavior and how she acts kind of thing.
And this was one of those rare times I don't think Kate McKinnon really saved it. I don't think she really... Because usually she can enhance something in her performance, but I just didn't think there was any there, you know?
Yeah, it was... I mean, at some point I couldn't... Like, I kept watching it to see where is it going,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of really... I don't know, it just went. There was no destination to this thing.
My main thought was, wow, they're getting a lot of mileage out of that classroom set.
They really are.
I was like, maybe they should repaint it or something. Yeah, you know, just make it a different color.
Yeah.
Because it seems wallpaper. Like they use that on every single classroom. I mean, and I get it. Well, why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
But it's...
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know, this sketch was... It was just bizarre. I mean, if you're a huge Kate McKinnon fan, I guess you'd like it because she gets to just kind of riff and do whatever comes to her head.
Yeah.
There was this one line she had, oh, look at us, we're all laughing like cats. Like, I don't know. It was a weird line. I was like, all right. It was just really odd.
Yeah, that's the term for it, odd.
I mean, not like, you know, Adult Swim odd, but it was just... It came pretty close.
Hailing distance.
Yes.
It could take a cab ride to get to Adult Swim.
Yeah, it's next door.
Yeah.
To that.
So next we had the musical guest. We had Maggie Rogers.
Yeah, this was interesting.
This got off to a weird start because here in the New York area, they had a test of the emergency broadcast system.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Did you not get this on your channel?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
That's weird.
All right. Yeah, for me...
I mean, I was changing the channel, so maybe I missed it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, at the very end of the commercial break, and this went over like Jonah Hill's intro, they were testing the emergency broadcast system.
Whoa!
And I was like, that's so weird. Why wouldn't you delay that until like after the show?
Like as Jonah Hill was introducing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
So I'm hearing, and I was like, oh, wow, is this going to go on a while? Like into her opening music. But we got like the beginning of her number. But okay. For me, got it off to a really weird start.
Oh. No, I didn't think you were going to talk about that at all. Because I thought, because like when she started singing, my wife and I, we were watching, and she was off key. She was like flat.
She seemed to have a really thin voice, I thought.
Yeah, that too. But like it was weird because like as we were singing, my wife and I were singing. No, as she was singing, she was off key. Like her band was going off in one way and her voice was going off in another. And I was like, am I hearing this right? Is she off key? And then, like, I went on Twitter, and sure enough, a lot of other people were like, yeah, she's pitchy. She's off key. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, the great David Alan Greer was on Twitter saying, yeah, she's off key. What is
this? Wow.
Yeah, he made a mention of it.
David Alan Greer throwing some shade at Maggie Rogers. Wow.
In living color.
Oh, wow.
But then as she went on, it got a little bit better. So I don't know if it was, like, a technical thing or what. And on Maggie Rogers' second performance. She just sounded a lot better.
Uh-huh.
Like she has a really nice voice. It's kind of like a Florence and the Machine type of voice, or
I can see that,
like a Lilith Fairish type of voice. She's a very good singer.
Yeah, she didn't really do much for me personally.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was just kind of there.
Yeah, it was just nice.
I understand. Like she's kind of.
She's pretty new.
She's new to the business. She was like, she did a song in her classroom for, who was it that was visiting her classroom? I read this story.
Lorne Michaels.
No. Oh. It was some big music impresario.
Clive.
Person.
Clive guy from Columbia.
Okay.
I'm not in the business.
Yeah.
I was going to say Clive Barker? Clive Owens?
No, it was some impressive musician like, not Kanye, but like someone
Jimmy
almost
Jam
on that level.
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, Lisa and Cult Jam came into her classroom.
Whoa!
And she like sang a song that she did, and they were, and this person was like, hey, yo, that's really awesome. And yeah, before you know it, she's got like a record deal and all that.
Okay. I'll look it up.
I think Darren is looking it up.
I'm on it.
On his phone. So,
but yeah, know, like I thought her voice sounded nice.
Yeah, when I was first watching her, my basic reaction, I don't know, I wasn't terribly impressed with her music. I thought looks wise, she looked a little like Partridge Family era Susan Day doing Janis Joplin.
Oh wow,
you know that was what I came up with, and
that is spot on.
You know, during her second set, she was barefoot and she was wearing like this red. I don't know what to call it.
It was almost
like a muumuu, but not quite.
Yeah,
this big drapery thing.
She's wearing like a curtain.
Yeah, and barefoot. I don't think I'd want to be barefoot on the Studio 8H stages.
I don't know. Just,
I would feel weird about that.
Some people just love being barefoot, man. It's all nature, baby.
I don't know. So I mean, I was very so-so on Maggie Rogers, but
Clive Davis, maybe
Clive Davis.
There, I knew it was one of the Clives.
Okay.
So
it was not Lisa and Cult Jam.
It was not, unfortunately.
Okay.
Oh, that's a bummer.
That's disappointing.
I know, right?
But I mean, even though I made it up 2 minutes ago, I'm still kind of disappointed that that's not true. Wouldn't it be awesome if it actually was? If I just like pulled that name out of thin air and
like
it actually
Lisa
was? Yeah.
Lost in emotion. Oh no, it's Debbie Gibson. Oh, no, sorry, we're very old. As we've said numerous times.
Yeah.
After that, weekend update.
Weekend update.
Always a crowd favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what'd you think of this weekend update? I thought it was all right.
I thought it was all right. Michael Chahe had some great barbs. Like the one part where he said, you know why Red State saves all res? Because
everybody leaves them.
All the liberal kids move to the coastal states to like study improv. And
yeah,
that one hit close.
You want to make a difference? Go back to Ohio and vote, Megan.
Exactly.
And I thought that was a great line, and I thought it was a great observation. And I think Michael Chahe has a real gift for nice observations like
that. Yeah, he cuts to the core of it.
He cuts to the core, and he can find a take on current events that's not something you're hearing in a million other places, and I always like that.
Yeah, I dig it.
So
absolutely. And who else was? Oh, Pete Davidson was on it.
He did a little thing about the election candidates.
Yeah, and he just
in the midterms
talked about how they looked, and that. But then he did a thing where he talked about how he looked like.
Yeah, because Pete Davidson. He has a new hair color.
Yeah, it's
he's
like,
got sort of silvery hair. He looks like a refugee in a science fiction movie.
His
line was he looked like a Dr. Seuss character that just got out of prison.
Yes, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
And it worked really well because he was wearing a bright orange shirt.
Yeah,
so,
that was bright.
And
but then he said some nice words about his former fiance.
Yeah, he got. We haven't commented on this, but
he got serious.
It's been all over the news. Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande, they ended their engagement.
Oh.
And
boy,
I don't have much to say about that. I don't typically follow the celebrity gossip that much.
You don't follow TMZs?
I don't. I try to avoid the TMZs. I don't like the TMZs.
You're better off for it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But he was I did read though that supposedly Pete Davidson had some sort of sketch or some sort of commentary about his breakup, and then he asked Lorne Michaels to let's not do this, let's kill it, because apparently Ariana Grande was getting upset on Twitter that
because
in one of the promos for this week's show, Pete Davidson It was Pete Davidson with Jonah Hill and Maggie Rogers. And Pete Davidson says to Maggie Rogers, "Hey, you're cute. Do you want to get married?" Uh-huh. And she says, "No." And Pete Davidson just goes, "Oh, for three." And
see, I don't think that was bad. Too bad a thing.
No, what's I don't think it was making Ariana Grande the butt of the joke or anything.
But I think, but she tweeted something. What, and
was he engaged before Ariana Grande though?
Oh, that makes
because like the "Oh for three," I didn't quite get.
Huh.
Because that doesn't that imply think, he's had three engagements?
I didn't even think about that. As far as I know, no. But
okay.
But yeah, wow, I didn't even think about that. All right, well,
we should get on the Google machine and figure this out.
Get our interns on that.
That was we have interns?
Our iPhones.
Okay.
I call my iPhone my intern. That's what the I for intern.
Okay.
Intern phone. But right. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But he also had a good joke in the beginning of his what he was saying, where he said, "Oh, like I don't really vote, but after I had to move back home with my mom, I decided to give it a look-see."
That was great. And honestly, I had no idea that Vice President Mike Pence's brother was running office in Indiana.
I had no idea either. So that shows what I know about the.
So we learned a little something about our political system.
The more you know.
And yeah,
that was
But. Yeah, so at the end, he had a sincere statement about Ariana Grande. He was just like, you know, hey, we tried. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
It's not really anybody's business why, but she's a great person. I wish her all the happiness in the world. It was nice. It was a nice, classy, sincere statement.
Exactly. Like we said before, like, I'm not crazy about Pete Davidson when he does, like, skits and when he's acting as character because he's very limited. But when he's just, like, an honest guy talking, like, on his SNL Weekend Update segments, I like him there. Like,
I think he'd probably agree with you on that.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd probably be like, "Yeah, I'm not good in sketches.
Like, I mean, I'm just good just talking and thinking."
He's just one of those performers who's better being himself than any kind of character, and he's funnier being himself than any character because he's probably a more extreme person than.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, SNL's had him before, like Michael Che or Dennis Miller or anybody else in the past who've done SNL Weekend Update. They're just better behind the desk talking.
Usually it's the people who come out of the stand-up backgrounds.
Yeah, Norm Macdonald.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah. Or Colin Quinn is another one.
Colin Quinn, of course. Yeah, forget about it.
So,
all right. So, and there was also, what other characters were there? There was the Melissa Villaseñor, every teen murderer suspect from Law & Order.
Every teen girl murder suspect on Law & Order. That's what I have.
That's a very specific.
It was. I thought it was good. I thought it was funny. She did, like, the mannerisms and the tropes well. I think I'm getting a little tired of SNL's tendency to just name their characters. This is their character trait. They do that on the update characters a lot.
They do. I mean, I think they do that just so you, because if you just give them a name, they don't know. I mean, I guess viewers won't know what to expect.
Yeah. It just occurred to me, like, if they were doing Emily Latella today, she would just be, "And now we welcome old lady who's hard of hearing." And it's, I don't know. It's a little less fun for me.
Oh, yeah. I guess I see what you mean. Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, at the same time, like, the character Melissa Villaseñor is so specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you wouldn't understand what was happening if they just gave her a regular name. Like, if they just called her Megan, and they're like, "Oh, here's Megan," and then she was acting the way she was acting, you wouldn't really understand.
Right.
Or unless they said Megan, and then they did the description thing.
Yeah. So maybe just seems, I just wish they were a little more creative than just naming the characters after their traits. So, you know, because we've got, like, the girl you wish you hadn't started a conversation with.
Right.
At the party.
The guy who bought a boat and he talked about his dong. Donger.
There was another Cecily Strong character. It was like the female protagonist in every romantic comedy or something like that.
And the one Heidi Gardner did, the boxer's girlfriend, they're boxing.
Exactly. Yeah,
they do that a lot. I mean,
It seems like it's become a bit of a crutch, and I wish they'd get away from that a little bit. You know?
I see what you mean. I get it.
Even the bar mitzvah boy had a name.
That's true. But, I mean, wait, did he? Oh, yeah, he did.
Jason, I think. Jacob. Oh, Jacob, you're right.
Right, that's true.
Jacob's a more Jewish name.
That's true. But don't tell my bubby that.
Yeah.
And then Keenan came out as David Ortiz. David Ortiz, Big Poppy.
Because the Red Sox just won the World Series.
That's right. And I thought that was okay.
I don't have anything in particular to say about that because I'm just not.
Wow.
Well, I'm not a sports person, so if it wasn't for Keenan imitating him on Weekend Update, I would have no idea who Jason Ortiz is. I only have a vague idea right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not a sports guy either. I kind of know a little bit just because, you know, I know Boston a little bit.
Right.
And
is he even somebody who's on the current team?
I believe he retired a while ago. But I know the city of Boston loves him because he was there when he was on the team like when Boston first won their World Series, which they hadn't won in like, you know, decades.
Right. That was like around 2003, 2004.
I believe so. Yeah. He was on the team then. Yeah. And like, he was, you know, he broke the he helped break the curse. And so, like, you know, the city of Boston just loved him forever.
I remember that because I remember that, that World Series. I was rooming with a guy at the time who was a massive diehard Yankee fan.
Okay.
And when Boston clinched it, he just went apeshit. He was just, like, yelling and stomping around. And this was, like, late at night.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, dude, chill out. We've got like downstairs neighbors. They're gonna they're gonna call somebody.
Yeah, no, I mean just some people are I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big sports fan or anything, but like I do see people have like a strong attachment to the sports. I remember one time my wife and I went to the Giants. We saw it like when it was in the Super Bowl when the Giants were playing the Patriots, and you know, my wife's a Giants fan, and one of our friends was a big Patriots fan because, you know, my wife, she went to college up in the Massachusetts area.
Okay,
and so we all
which is how you know Boston.
That's I'm exactly assuming. Yes.
All right. It's all coming together.
It all comes together. All links up, and we went to this this house party, and we all watched the game, and you know, everybody else was dressed in their Giants gear, and my wife's friend was the only one dressed in the Patriots gear. And like that's when the Giants won and the Patriots lost. Like, that was the final of the big game, and we were all celebrating. And then she was just kind of quiet, and she just like kind of and she left early. It's like, and we're like, oh no, just hang out. And she's like, no, I gotta go. And it was just like weird. I was like, oh, all right.
But well, I mean, yeah, I mean, people get really invested in that stuff, and I'm not criticizing. Yeah. That at all.
Yeah, we get invested in this in Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I mean, we have our own things.
Comic books.
Yeah.
Everybody
that,
has their
that
own
we're
thing.
Passionate about. And yeah, it's the same sort of passion. It's just expressed in a different direction.
Exactly.
So
everybody has their thing.
So yeah, that wasn't speaking my language. Let's see. I had one more observation on Weekend Update, which is it finally struck me what bugs me about Colin Jost's hair.
Oh, God. Is, okay, let's go.
It looks like one of those plastic Lego hair like pieces that you just click on the Lego man's head.
That's, all right. It's very shiny.
It's very shiny. It's done up. It's a do. It's very short on the side. He's got that Bob's Big Boy wave thing happening.
It's very like Hasan Minhaj-ish. I understand.
I don't like it.
It's a bouffant.
I don't like it.
Oh boy!
It just screams preppy douchebag.
Hair envy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a little of that. I mean,
it's
just.
Hey man,
it's a weird look.
It's just hair, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I miss
Jimmy Fallon and his bedhead. You know.
Oh boy. You know. He's still on TV. You can still watch.
He
whatever.
Is, but he combs his hair now. It's not the same.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not the same.
Well, yeah, I'm sure one day he'll...
But I guess that look's not really a thing anymore.
What, the bedhead thing?
Yeah.
No, that was
more of an early 2000s thing.
Yeah, that was a special moment in time. Now we comb our hair.
Yeah.
Not me, I don't. But, sure. You know, people who have hair.
Right.
Comb it now.
Yeah.
And you can always watch
I've heard tell of that.
Yeah. Remember hair? That was a good time.
That was.
Wow. This took a turn.
So... Well, no, I just wanted to get that one last insulting thing about Colin Jost in there because I hadn't really said anything.
Now we'll never
bad
get him on the we'll never get him on the podcast now with all the slander you throw at him, all the slanderosity. What was the word I used before?
Slanderosity. Let's say that.
Yes.
Sure.
That's another new word.
Yeah.
Urban Dictionary. You're welcome.
There we go. So next we had America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Which was this was like half a film segment, half. Like a live thing, I think
it was half live, but then I think they cut in parts from the actual America's Got Talent, like the audience scenes, right?
Yeah, I had trouble telling because of the way it was shot. And the joke here was it was a new segment, America's Got Talent. Wait, they're actually good, and
where
they bring somebody onto the show, you think they're gonna be awful, like a William Hung sort of thing,
right?
And then they blow you away like Susan Boyle.
Yes, exactly.
Years ago.
Susan Boyle years ago. Yeah.
I dreamed a dream. Da, 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 da.
Oh, wow. That was beautiful.
Thank
man.
You.
But yeah, like I thought it was all right. It was kind of one note. Like it was one of those things where, I mean, that is something that does happen on America's Got Talent where.
It's like one of their go-to things.
Yeah. Like they bring out somebody who you think is just based on looks alone is going to be terrible. And then they come out and blow you into town.
I liked how they exaggerated it. They had Cecily Strong as a woman who'd been raised in the wilderness, like Nell.
Yeah.
And then she sang Send in the Clowns.
Send in the Clowns.
And then they had Keenan and Leslie Jones. Yeah, she came in and my husband's been in a coma. And then they come out. What did they sing? Like Ain't No Mountain High.
Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Yeah. And then they like he gets up out of the coma and he's got like a sparkly vest on.
Yeah.
And he's
I
all,
thought it was funny, yeah.
I thought it was cute. Kyle Mooney was kind of a weird Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
He's in a bald cap and it looked odd. He didn't really look much like Howie Mandel. I don't
more
think
like
he,
more like Moby.
He didn't particularly act like Howie Mandel. I was just like, that's kind of a weird choice.
Yeah, I mean, he was around.
Yeah,
you gotta give him Kyle Mooney something to do.
I enjoy Beck Bennett's Simon Cowell though.
Yeah, yeah, that was okay.
He does a decent Simon Cowell.
Yeah, not bad.
I thought this was cute.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Not bad, not bad. Thumbs up all around. Great,
sure.
Great effort, team.
Wait, they're actually good?
Yeah, I know. I get it. It
was cute. It was cute. Do you really watch the America's Got Talent or
not really.
Those reality type shows?
No. I mean, as far as reality shows go, like I watch, I guess Shark Tank if you count that.
Yeah, I guess that counts.
That might be it. I'm not really a big reality show guy. But I understand the concept of, you know, like having somebody bad on and then like, mm-hmm. Whoa, they're amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I shouldn't have judged them based on appearance. I'm a terrible person.
Yeah.
I guess that's...
And then we're going to fall into that pattern again for the next
yes.
person who looks terrible.
Exactly. I mean, but I do like how they're kind of calling attention to it, how they kind of mm-hmm. do that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. Right.
I bet.
Okay, so next we had a fake commercial.
Yes. For Huck-a-PM.
Huck-a-PM, which is medication for Sarah Huckabee Sanders, which is basically she gets the question, how do you sleep at night? And this...
Yeah.
This is the medication she takes to sleep at night. And what did they say was in it? Did you?
I don't remember.
It was like all these heavy drugs. And basically, like, she takes this and then she just falls over unconscious wherever she is.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. That was very physical.
Yeah, that was very funny.
Where she just, like, kind of collapses, like, breaks beds and banisters.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, a quick thing, but it was very funny. I thought it should have been much earlier in the show.
Yeah, why didn't they put this earlier in the show? I don't get it.
I mean, maybe because they didn't want too many fake commercials too close to each other or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. I get it, but I don't know. I thought it was better than... I don't know. I think they should have moved up a little bit.
It was really good, though.
Yeah,
it was really good. And, you know, some great physical comedy there.
Yeah.
Aidy Bryan is Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen too much physical comedy this year. Have you? Like,
not a great deal.
Why when I saw it happen, it was like kind of surprised me. Like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, physical comedy. They used to do this a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, I don't want to say the last time I remember seeing it was like maybe Molly Shannon, but I'm sure, like, I haven't seen physical comedy like that in quite some time.
It's tough to go wrong with a good pratfall, you know?
Wrong with it. People love...
Well done pratfall.
People love seeing people getting hurt.
Okay.
It's American as apple pie.
Absolutely, absolutely. Schadenfreude.
Gesundheit.
And then our last sketch of the night was Pugwigs.
Pugwigs.
Which was basically if your pug... If your pet pug is too ugly, they have wigs that you can put on to make them look more attractive.
And that's pretty much it.
They had one pug in the Rachel.
Yeah.
The Jennifer Aniston thing.
Yeah, and it was Cecily Strong and...
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill, like they were like doing Italian, kind of like Long Island, Jersey accents.
And they imply a couple times that it was a front for the mob.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, oh no, it's totally illegal business.
This is a legitimate business. And Aidy Bryant was in there too.
Yeah, Aidy Bryant and Kyle Mooney, he had a wig on too. And it's like, oh, well, we got wigs for your dog here.
Yeah, yeah.
And even like Keenan was like some... like black Italian type with a dog and
they always got to throw Keenan in there somewhere.
Yeah, you need to spice things up with some Keenan. He's like pepper, just in every dish.
Yeah,
but yeah, I thought it was. I wrote down meh.
You know, I thought it was cute. It's a cute idea. I like the sketches with the dogs. They had trouble getting all the pugs to look in camera,
as you do. Yeah.
You know, but that's the risk you run, I guess.
Yeah, you know, kids and animals.
It reminded me a little of. Like a recurring sketch that they did with Scarlett Johansson where they were like selling the columns she was like, look at this one and this one and this one, you know, just she was also doing like the stereotypical Long Island Italian thing.
I kind of remember that. I don't know. But yeah. All right. Yeah. I thought,
or maybe it wasn't columns. Were they talking about chandeliers?
Oh, maybe.
Something like that.
Wait, is it the sketch you're talking about where Cecily Strong and Vanessa Bayer?
Not the one with the former porn stars.
Oh.
No, okay. this was like a fake commercial where, yeah, she
okay.
And I'm not remembering it correctly yet.
Okay. We'll clean this up in post.
Yeah.
But I thought the sketch was okay. It was like, all right, dogs and wigs. People love dogs.
You know, it's a decent one to end the night on.
Yeah. I believe that was it.
Yeah. What was your other favorite sketch? Was it the Huckabee PM?
Yes, thing? I did. Okay. The Huckabee PM. I liked the Divided We Stand. I dug, and of course the midterm elections.
Yeah.
One. That's odd. It's all like pre-taped stuff, but I thought those were the strongest.
Yeah,
ones.
Those were. I think definitely the election one and the Huckabee PM. Those were the highlights of the night for me.
I will strongly agree.
And those were both good. It didn't seem like we saw a whole lot of Jonah Hill tonight. He seemed a little underrepresented.
Yeah,
for the host.
I guess so. That's weird because he's the host. But yeah, I didn't see a lot of him. But
I don't think we saw Ego Nawdum or Chris Redd at all.
No, Chris Redd was in the Divided We Stand sketch.
You're right.
But yeah, okay. Ego, I don't
remember seeing her once.
I don't think she was in it.
Yeah.
That happened.
I mean, and it was probably she had something planned that she had a significant part in that
right.
got axed her time.
Yeah, that's
or
very
whatever.
Possible. Could have gotten cut.
That's just how it happens. I mean, I think we were saying a couple weeks ago that Cecily Strong was light on the episode.
That's it. And it's the nature of the beast, people.
Yeah.
Highs
yeah.
and ebbs and flows.
And, and you know, it was funny, at the Good Nights, we saw Kyle Mooney and he still had his Howie Mandel
ball cap
on. So I was like, oh, I guess that America's Got Talent thing was live, after all, if he still has the bald cap
on. I guess
on.
So, but I mean, I thought it was maybe because in the last sketch, the Puck sketch, he was wearing a wig. So maybe he had the bald cap to put the wig over, and he just took the wig off.
Yeah, maybe it was just easiest to put the wig over the bald cap.
Yeah,
or something.
I don't know. I know showbiz works. Yeah, but I just thought that was it.
Also, like Jonah Hill still had like the tattoos on his arm, and I was like, oh, "Are those tattoos real, or was he wearing those for the sketch?"
I think they're real.
Are they? Oh,
maybe.
I wouldn't have guessed that Jonah Hill was a tattoo guy. But
yeah, no, he's a man. He's a man of many things.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? He's a man of mystery. Who knows what goes through his mind?
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I thought. I mean, as far as the episode goes, I thought it was okay.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was like a little, you know, fair to middling overall.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But, you know, a couple standout sketches. I would love to see the Blue Wave and the Hucka PM commercials again. So
absolutely.
The fake commercials were where it was at tonight.
Yes.
I thought.
Very much so.
So
and then that's it.
That's it.
That's all we got, people.
So next week we got Mr. Liev Schreiber.
Liev Schreiber.
And Lil Wayne.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
That'll be an interesting show.
I don't know if Liev Schreiber, he doesn't do too many comedies, right? He's not really a comedy guy.
No, I guess not.
So it'll be interesting to see how he pulls this off.
Yeah, I think what is he plugging? Is his show coming back?
Probably Ray Donovan, I'm guessing. And then
does Lil Wayne have a new album, I'm assuming?
Yes, he just came out with an album a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So he'll be plugging that. And that's another episode on the horizon.
Yeah, so that's... So who knows what they're going to do with them?
Damned if I know.
That'll be interesting.
I know. Should be some kind of something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's it for this week. Darren, you got any plugs you want to?
Well,
you got some shows coming up.
I do have some shows coming up. I'll be in Queens on the 11th at the Misfit Hive.
Nice.
And then I have I'm doing a fundraiser in Chester, New Jersey, on December 1st or 2nd. Might be first. I think it's first. Let's say first. And I got a couple other shows coming up. I'll be in Brooklyn on November 16th, I believe. You know what? Don't listen to me. Check my website. It has everything. DarrenCredible.com. And you can also find it on Twitter and Instagram at DarrenCredible. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible. And check out the other podcast I do called The Virgin Chronicles.
That's right. You got a taping for The Virgin Chronicles coming up soonish, right?
Yes, November 17th with who's it with? Oh, Greg Stone, great comic, and another person whose name Francesco Murillano. We're gonna clean this up in post. But yeah, I record a podcast in Brooklyn at Colony 274. The next one will be on November 17th, Saturday at 3 p.m. So come out to that, please. We have Greg Stone, awesome comic from Jersey, who wrote for The Break with Michelle Wolf, and Francisco Marciuliano, who is a best-selling author, and he creates the comics Sally Forth.
Oh, I know the guy who draws that, Jim Keefe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a friend of mine on Facebook. He used to draw Flash Gordon for King Features.
Oh, well,
and now he draws Sally Forth.
Nice.
So, small world.
How about that? Look at
that. That's so funny.
How about that? So, yeah, come out to that, or just find out where I'm going to be at. Twitter, Instagram, at Darren Credible, and my website, DarrenCredible.com.
All right. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at TrumbleComic.com.
All right.
So, you can find me there.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to plug right now. I'm
okay. Just living in the shadows.
That's right. That's right.
like Batman.
Yes. Like Batman.
I live in
all
the
right. So that
is I was
is
born
it.
In the darkness. I'm sorry.
You just went into Bane.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
You went into Bane.
Mordecai.
We should just do an entire show as Bane.
I think we're slowly going mad here, but yeah, we should.
Well, yeah, have to talk about Saturday Night Live.
Okay, well, we're getting even more incoherent than normal.
Yeah, we're slowly getting loopy. So let's just wrap it up. And guys, thanks again for listening to the podcast.
All right, thanks very much. We will see you next week. Take care.
Bye.
Howdy, folks. This is Frank from non-productive.com interrupting your podcast feed for this urgent message. We're putting on our first Kickstarter, and we need your help to reach our goal.
And beyond!
NonPro is planning a movie night, a movie marathon where we're streaming some of the best of the worst flicks of all time, and we're raising money to cover operating expenses for the year. Every dollar you donate gets us closer to some truly, truly terrible films, and we're going to stream the entire experiment